You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places. In Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah, the name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and we go through the Bible here at least 4 days a week. We reserve 1 day a week to do a live broadcast where we discuss other topics, such as prophecy reality. So we weekly have our prophecy reality edition. That's on every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So make sure you tune in for that. Today, we're continuing our study in the Gospel of John. We've got to chapter 10, about verse 14. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Now, if we're to interpret the Bible here in context, yes, grammatically and historically, this is the method by which I interpret the Bible. This is the method of interpretation that is demonstrated in the Bible itself. That is a historical, grammatical interpretation. And this works for all interpretation, for all prophecy. And right here, historically and grammatically, Jesus is speaking and he says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold." So to understand what fold he's talking about, that they are not of this one, we have to discover what is this fold. Of course, this fold would be those that he is talking to at that very moment. That's why history and context and grammar is so important to understand the Bible. The Bible interprets itself, and this is the only way that it can interpret itself. So he says, I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. Who is he speaking to? Of course, he is speaking to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Not my words, his word. "I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," he says. So this is the fold. This is this fold in the context here that he is speaking of. The other sheep he has are not of this fold, that is the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He says, "Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold." Okay, now he's of course speaking future tense. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold. Now, Jesus is in the early part of the 70th week of Daniel. If the weeks of Daniel are contiguous, which I believe they are, there's nothing explicitly to remove any of the weeks off and insert gaps. That is totally done by conjecture. So, 69th week, when it ended, it says 69 weeks unto Messiah. we landed ourselves at the Jordan River baptism where the Messiah was revealed to Israel. And the Father spoke and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And the Spirit descended like a dove, beginning of the 70th week at that point. So early in the 70th week, he said, "I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I'll explain this a little more to you. The reason he could say that is because 70 weeks were determined for Israel, for the holy city, and for the temple. That's what the prophet said. That's what the angel told Daniel. 70 weeks are determined. Okay, so he has to appear within that 70 weeks, and he could only say, "I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," because he is within that 70 weeks. He says, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, and they shall," future tense, and that means at the end of the 70th week, "they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold." And that was the point. 3.5 years after the crucifixion, 7 years from his appearing at the Jordan River baptism, the beginning of the 70th week, 7 years later, the sheep of the other fold would begin to hear his voice, and there would now be one fold. There's only one fold. There's a nation today over in the Mideast, and it's called Israel. And yes, perhaps they have a special place in the heart of God. And I hope that we have a special place in the heart of God. But the 70 weeks determined for Israel ended. And Jesus is signifying this end here when he says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall," future tense, "hear my voice, and there shall," future tense, "be one fold." That's your grammatical element here. There shall, future tense. And that future tense was to be at the end of the 70 weeks. Then there shall be one fold, because the 70 weeks determined for Israel had ended. And even Chuck Missler, in his own words, agrees with me. You would think by the plain reading of the text that the 70 weeks were contiguous, unquote. But he continues and he says, and they are. I agree with him, and they are. And then he digresses and says, except for the 70th week. And he goes on to say that something is explicitly and expressed in the text which is not there. More clues in the Gospels that this is the 70th week and it is going to end. And this is not conjecture, okay? It is expressed in the text. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold. So we had one fold after that. He made one holy nation. The time for Israel as a set-apart nation to God ended. Signified by this here, what Jesus is saying, signified by the fact that the oracles of God, the Word of God, which was conveyed to the Hebrew nation, the Israelites only, now would be conveyed to the nations in the international language of Greek. And we've discussed that before. Let's move on. So he says, therefore doth my Father love me. Well, let's back up. I didn't finish that. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father. Now there was a division therefore among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil opened the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said to him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe me not, because ye are not my sheep, as I have said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do ye stone me? The Jews answered, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And Jesus answered and said to them, Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him. But he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan to the place where John had first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted to him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he says to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. And his disciples said to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Well, Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things he said, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Wow. Let us go also, that we may die with him. Is Thomas a little depressed, or what's going on here? Yes. Well, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh into Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Faith. That's the same faith I have, you know. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which would come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but it was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up and hastily went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. And when Mary was come to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Yes. The shortest verse in the Bible, they say. Why did Jesus weep? Because he was a man. Because he was moved by emotion like we are. That's why he wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Said I not to thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Well, you know, all of these people here, they knew. They were there for the funeral, and some of them were still comforting Mary and the family after so many days. And they know that they've seen a miracle. There is no doubt in their mind that Lazarus was dead. They knew he was sick and that he died. Now, Jesus couldn't hop in an automobile, although he could have appeared, but he traveled by foot. And it took some days for him to get from where he was at to Martha and Mary's house, so that he was in the grave for 4 days. So he delayed after he heard, so that he might be glorified. And was he seeking his glory? No, he was seeking the glory to glorify his Father by doing the things that he said, which we should always do. I mean, that is the only way we can glorify God, is by learning obedience to his word. And the Son said, he said, whatever the Father has told me, that's what I do. Whatever he's shown me, that's what I speak. When we are conformed to the image of the only begotten Son, then, you know, that's our cry. I only want to do the things that please the Father. That's what I say. That's my prayer. Teach me obedience. And that's what repentance is all about. It's all about learning obedience. Because when we come to repentance, what we're saying is that I have not been obedient to your word. The things I have been doing are not pleasing to you. They're contrary to your word. So the true desire of a true Christian is to be obedient to God's word. And how do we know what God wants? Do we get to make it up as we go along? Is it up to us to decide what is right and wrong in his sight? No, it is not. He has written down his will in his word for us, and we need to study to show ourselves approved. We're going into a break. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll continue in the Gospel of John.
Look upon pledge allegiance to the King of Kings, and to his kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and our Heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce, in the minds of all, this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the Left Behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org. Back. You listen to Cross the Border. We're continuing our study in the Gospel of John. Jesus ended with these words, "Loose him and let him go," after he had raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus demonstrating that he is the resurrection and the life. And this is our faith and our hope. This is what it's based upon. How do we tap into that resurrection and life? How are we guaranteed that we will be raised up in the last day? Now, you know, I've heard stories. There are people that have claimed to raise people from the dead today. I don't know if that's true or not. Could it happen? Well, yes, anything could happen. I guess, you know, there's miracles, but I've never seen it happen. These things were done. If we read it in context, and we read what Jesus is explicitly saying here, that this was done to glorify the Son. Yes, that's what he says. That's what we just read, that these things were done to glorify him. And Lazarus died after that. He was raised from the dead. He did not obtain eternal life. So our hope goes beyond simply being raised from the dead into back into a mortal existence, but our faith extends to being raised from the dead to immortality, to a new flesh that will never be sick, that will never grow old, that will never die. That's what we're looking forward to. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doth many miracles." Like, this is a real problem, right? This man's doing many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And they're worried about the government. You know, this is the way a lot of churches operate today. If they do the right thing, the government will come away and take our place, both our place away from us. You know, and their nation, they said. Of course, we had the Roman government. They had their Roman procurator. Has anything really changed today? You got churches capitulating to sodomy, sodomite marriage, and just wholesale licentiousness. Whatever the state allows. Will the state come and take their place away? Yeah, it will. The government will come, take their place away. So this means that they will persecute. You know, we've read prophecy and studied prophecy here, and we know that a time is coming where, and well, is even now, depending on where you're at, but upon the demise of the financial system and the introduction of the one world, mark of the beast monetary system, we know that the state is going to require all churches to preach their message and to capitulate to their demands. And many will capitulate for fear of losing their place. They're hirelings. We talked about them earlier here. They will sell out their congregations. They will sell out their flock. And tell them, hey, it's okay, well, it's not the mark of the beast, don't worry about it. Whatever it takes to capitulate to all of the things that are legal rather than that which is lawful according to the law of God. There are a lot of people that I know locally in the so-called emerging church experiential movement that believe that God is doing a new thing. That we don't have to pay attention to the Bible anymore, but God is giving them personally new revelation. Some of them call themselves prophets and apostles, and they label themselves, and they become puffed up, and they get followers after them, and they think they can continue in their sin. Some are even so deceived that they read the Bible, of course, out of context, and perhaps think Jesus had female women followers, disciples, so I can have women disciples. And they imagine that Jesus is like them, rather than striving to be conformed to the image of the only begotten Son, which image is revealed through God's Word. They imagine that Jesus is like them, and that when Jesus had women disciples, that they were like his concubines, that they were his harem, and that he could sleep with them, and that was fine. And so they believe that for themselves. If Jesus could do it, so can they. And they do. There's all kinds out there. Some of them believe that they can raise people from the dead, or they can heal by their word, and they go out and they pretend that it happens. And they hype people up and convince them that something miraculous happened. Even though you get back a week later and you find out they still have the same illness. And they go on believing it because by faith it's theirs and it should happen if they believe long enough. Yeah, despite the reality. The reality is this, God's word is true. You know? We are in the flesh, we are the mortal flesh that is corrupting and it's going to die. Unless the seed is planted in the ground, unless it dies and is planted in the ground, it will not spring up into everlasting life. No, we need to repent and we need to throw off all these ideas. We need to read God's word in context. We need to understand it the way he wrote it, historically, grammatically. Intimately, we need to understand what is really there, not what we want to be there. Otherwise, we never repent. If we believe that Jesus was like us, rather than we need to be conformed to the image of the Holy Lamb of God who never sinned, we need to be like him, not believe that he was like us. And because he was fallible, so can we. That is a wrong picture of Jesus. That's a wrong picture of our Messiah. He never sinned. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. Anyway, they call the council together, and they're saying, well, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, for the miracle's sake, of course. They're afraid because this man is doing the miraculous. And there's no way they could, if they could prove him to be a faker, they would. They would find witnesses, or they would find out the facts that Lazarus wasn't really dead. That guy wasn't really blind. But no, they're really afraid because these things are really happening. And they can't make these things happen. We can't compete with this guy, is what they're thinking. And if we leave him alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans, the government, will come and take away both our place and our nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. Well, what did Caiaphas know? Well, I'll tell you what he did not know. The nation was perishing. It was foretold. 70 weeks were determined for the nation. It was coming to its end, but he was trying to save it, just like the others. He was worried about the Romans coming and taking it away. And this is somewhat prophetic, because the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation, one of them said, and that is exactly what happened. Oh, it took a little more than 40 years from the time that this conversation took place. It took about 40 years, the time of Jacob's trouble, that 40 years. Yeah, it took about 40 years, but these words were prophetic. So Caiaphas says, oh, you guys don't know anything. You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. Well, somewhat prophetic. One nation, one man was going to die for the people, but the nation, yes, Jacob, Israel in the flesh, was going to perish. And it did. And this he spake not of himself, but being a high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one, the children of God that were scattered abroad. Wow, the high priest prophesied that. And from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Whose plan was this? This was God's plan. You know, there are those that hate the Jews. They say that, they try to hold the Jews, even today, solely responsible for the death of Jesus. But what if Jesus had lived? What if he had not been crucified? Where would be the propitiation? Where would be the substitute for us, for our sins? Where would the resurrection be? This was God's plan. And we see that God even prophesied through Caiaphas, the high priest, who is contrary, a man walking in the flesh. He worries about one thing, but he prophesies another thing. So from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence to a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, what think ye, that he will not come to the feast? They were pretty sure he was going to show up, in other words. At least that's what I gather. Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. So they, like, put out a wanted poster. They put out the word that Jesus was wanted. Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, yes, Judas Iscariot, the treasurer, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, getting a little bit into the character of Judas here. He obviously didn't care for the poor. I think he cared a little bit more about the money. That seems to be the indication here. Not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with ye, but me ye have not always. And there's something to think about. We always have the poor. The poor will never go away. You know, we have the, what is it, the great, whatever, the Johnson, the great society, I think that's what they call it, the welfare state. They're going to get rid of poverty. Well, have they done it yet? You know, they've been working on it for over 60 years now, the great society, the welfare state, and they haven't got rid of the poor yet. What did Jesus say? The poor, always, you have with you. Ye have with ye. Yes, the poor always. We will always have the poor. Slavery, well, they think they've done away with slavery, but they are deluded too. Because we always will have slaves. We just have a different type of slavery now. Yeah, look around you. Look at all the debt slaves. That's what it's all about. It's all about your labor. Why people had slaves, because they worked. So we turned them into debt slaves instead, and they still work. They're slaves nonetheless. What about all the slaves that sign their souls, you know, away for the benefits of the state, and then the state robs their neighbor for them? Yes, vicarious theft. That's what it is. That's what the Antichrist preaches, but calls it charity and truth. See, they turn the truth into a lie, because it is not charity, and it is not true. It is theft, and that's what socialism is. That's what the New World Social Economic Order is about, and that's the basis for the whole Mark of the Beast monetary system, based upon those four things. Theft. Stealing from your neighbor. Socialism, usury, and fiat currency, or unjust weight and balance, and slavery, enslaving the masses. But, you know, we know who's really behind it. These people don't even know what they're doing, most of them. Unwitting puppets of Satan, working out his transgenerational conspiracy to enslave mankind and keep them from the gospel prize. The poor... For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people, the Jews, therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus too. Yes, the fame of Lazarus spread about. They all came to see the man who was raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Uh-oh, I mean, danger, you know, hanging out with Jesus, being raised from the dead, having him perform a miracle on you, I mean, that's taking your life into your own hands. The chief priest wanted to put him to death, too, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed upon Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found the young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Sion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. Yes, it's an amazing thing. These men walked with Jesus, they were his disciples, and they didn't even understand. It was like there was a blindness, even on the elect. Definitely a blindness on those who did not believe, who were not elect. And like I say, the dividing line between the elect and those who are not the elect is the same today as it was from the beginning. It's those that have the circumcision that is that of the heart, and not merely in the flesh or even of the flesh. They are the elect. But even they, it says, even these things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered. Verse 17. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. Yes, we know it's true. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I in unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it." And the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thunders. Others said, an angel spake. Then answered Jesus and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." I love these words that Jesus says. He's speaking, of course, about his death. The hour has come that the Son of Man be glorified. Yes, and it's going to be a painful. But he says, except a corn of wheat fall into a ground. And if you planted any fruits, vegetables, garden, you're a farmer of any sort, you know that you put one kernel of corn into the ground, and it abideth alone. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, and it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. When that one kernel of corn springs up into a corn stalk, and then each ear of corn brings forth hundreds of seeds. Of course, Jesus is speaking about himself. And what does he say? He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world, clarifying, shall keep it unto eternal, life eternal. We all know that we are perishing. This is not the life we live for. We live this life, and we know we're going to die, but we work for the life that will be eternal. He said, if any man serve me, so now he's telling us what we should do in this life. We should serve him. Let him follow me. And we follow him. We hear his voice. He is our shepherd. We are his sheep. And he says, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. Paul said it. And I say it in my greeting every time I open up this program, that we are seated in heavenly places. Where he is, there we are. He says, where I am, there shall also my servant be. So we are seated in heavenly places because we don't live for us. We live to serve him if we are his. And he says, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. My name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. Please go there, subscribe, post on your whatever social media you have, share things there. Put the word out about this broadcast and about the articles that I have there. We'll be back.